Here in the studio with me is Ed Roth, who is professor of music therapy at Western Michigan University. And you're very excited about the culmination of a lot of work for you this week, the Mind Music Medicine Conference, which is being held in Kalamazoo. Well, congratulations on all your work, and it's very nice to have you here at WMUK.
Thank you, and thank you for having me here this morning.
I read a short article on MLive that Mark Waddell wrote last night about this conference, bringing together professionals in at least two fields. I wondered if you would talk a little about why you saw it necessary to have this conference and what it will do to further music therapy goals and science goals mm-hmm. and medicine goals.
Yeah, in fact, the number of disciplines that are represented is probably something more in the ballpark of six or seven. There are people who are basic scientists who do neuroscience research, and their primary research stimulus is music. There are music therapists, of course, who then are involved with the clinical application of music to diagnosed populations. There are a couple of neurologists who are part of the team. Of course, Regina Carter is there with us. She is the one true performing, professional performing musician. There's another music therapist who is part of the panel also. The participant list, the final list, came to me last night. And the majority of the people who are going to come to the conference are music therapists, music therapy students, but there are also people who are neurologists, other physicians of other disciplines, a few people who identified themselves as senior research animal scientists. I think they're from the former Pfizer. Some music educators, occupational therapists, social workers, a few physical therapists. The list really is quite it's terrific. We got so excited when we finally opened up that column in the spreadsheet to see who all was coming. In the application part of it, or the need why this we put this conference together, was this observation that I had been making over about 10 years of attending conferences, primarily put on by people who studied the psychology of music. And they were all either psychologists or neuroscientists, and also happened to be amateur musicians. And at the time, they used to talk about they studied music because it was the most complex external stimulus that they could use to understand how the brain was organized. It sort of felt like an excuse to study music to me. It was almost said apologetically. And then as time went on, it came out that they all happened to be pretty high-level trained musicians themselves, and it just became a really cool thing to study music. But the problem was that I saw that you had people who were doing the research, and then you had the clinicians, the music therapists, who are actually applying therapeutic music techniques or interventions and with client populations, but the two communities really had very little communication with each other. And so it was just a practical matter of we need to get in the same room at the same time to figure out from the clinicians what are the best questions to ask in terms of applying music clinically. And then to have the neuroscience or the psychology side of the discipline, if you will, say, well, here's what we need to do in terms of scientific rigor so that we have good outcomes that you might find more dependable when you actually try to apply these things in clinical scenarios.
Wow. So it's possible that individuals here at the conference could get together, and in a few years down the road, a study could come out of it with some actual evidence to build the yeah. profession on.
Yeah, you really hit it on the head. In fact, that's one of the, I suppose, the larger scale or even the sub-objectives of the conference within the panel. We're actually going to meet before the conference starts and then after the conference finishes to talk about how we may function as a consortium of seven or eight individuals who are all working at seven or eight different agencies, universities and hospitals. Of course, Regina is a professional musician. How we may pool our collective resources to try to approach something that is a longitudinal study that would study both the basic neuroscience of how people produce music, what are the behavioral and psychological outcomes of that, then also have a tail end, a randomized clinical trial at the end of it. That's something that Dr. Charles Lim, the person who gave the TED Talk on This Is Your Brain on Improvisation, he and I already have something in the works. It's passed both institutions. He's at Johns Hopkins. It's passed his IRB. It's in the middle of the review here. And it'll be the first of three hopeful studies that'll probably take us about 5 years to complete.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So, Ed, for those of us who will probably be on the fringes of the conference, where is it taking place? And are there places we can slip in and listen? Or do I need to have my name down on a registration?
Yeah, so the entire conference, but for one event, is taking place at the Radisson Hotel. And that one event is Regina Carter's concert on Wednesday evening. And that is open to the public.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that will take place in the Dalton Center in the recital hall. I don't know what ticket sales look like now, if it's sold out or not. But there will be 150 of us from the conference who will be there. And Dr. Dan Jacobson has a course. Some of his students will attend as part of that course. And then the rest of the recital hall will be open up for public consumption.
Well, since we've mentioned her a few times, let's talk about Regina
Carter. Yeah, it'd be fun.
She is a phenomenon, really.
She is.
A jazz violinist.
Yeah. And classical violinist, too. She plays it all.
Right. Whose work was endorsed by the MacArthur Foundation with one of their genius grants back in 2002 or 6 or something
like that.
I think
6, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and she went to Africa with that?
She did. Well, she put together a recording as part of the outcome of that grant, and it was the reverse thread disc that I brought in this morning. And so she had been on tour for several years for that with that. In fact, around that time, she and I got in touch, and she was talking about, or she was considering maybe coming to school and exploring the idea of pursuing a degree in music therapy. And through an awful lot of conversation, I said, well, how about we do something like this? Let me offer you the introduction to music therapy course, most of it online. If she could get to town once, which she did, that'd be great. And then I was able to coordinate some observations that she could make of actual live music therapists working back in New York, where I had lived for a long time myself. And we would explore ways to then stay in touch and continue to work together so she could contribute to the discipline and continue to learn from it also. And so that's the way we've pursued that over the last, whatever it's been, 6 or 7 years now.
That's fascinating. I'm going to have to ask you more about that. But first, let's take a break and listen to Regina from this reverse thread recording, track one, which I can't really pronounce. It's sort of African. Hiwumbe Awumbe. Here's Regina.
Good for you.
That's Regina Carter from Reverse Thread, track one. My guest is Ed Roth, who's professor of music therapy at Western Michigan University and head of this endeavor this week, the Mind, Music, and Medicine Conference, which is hosted by Western Michigan University.
Yeah, by the School of Music.
And held mostly at the Radisson Hotel downtown Kalamazoo. The big event for those of us who want to tag along is Wednesday night. Regina Carter will be with her band at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Tickets still available at milleraudatorium.com/SOM for School of Music, or by calling 387-2300. I want to keep talking about Regina for a little bit. She's a wonderful audience, a wonderful artist, used to performing for sophisticated audiences and around the world and presenting her music to jazz lovers. But she's interested in music therapy and the power of music and how it interacts with the human brain. Have you seen, is she interested in clinical settings and working with patients and things like that?
Yeah, she, Regina told me that she had two personal experiences with music, and they're actually quite personal. As I understand it, she'll be here tomorrow, if I have that correct. Yeah, so you might ask her directly about
those.
She'll
be here Wednesday morning at WMUK.
Okay, great, yeah. Wednesday morning. And but she had some very personal experiences with music, where she saw people who were close to her respond to music in ways that they didn't respond to anything else. And all of a sudden, their behavior became quite organized, and they became pleasant to be around and those types of things. So I think that was the initial spark for her. And she thought, what is going on? There's something happening here. And so it was a chance, it was a coincidental thing. She and Keith Hall, who's the drum set professor here at WMU, they met on one of the European summer tours, and I think they were on break together at the same time or something like that. And she mentioned to him that she was interested in music and health and healing, or this music therapy thing. And Keith and I have been friends for a long time, and he suggested that she give me a call. And so that's how that connection was made. And in Regina, I think one of the many endearing qualities that she has, that's her, is she's curious. She just wonders, how does that happen? When you present music to another person or to an audience, and so many people feel the same way, and you feel the sense of connection between the audience and the stage, we know where it's architecturally held in the brain, right? But how in the world, what processes underlie those behaviors and those experiences that we have? And she's fascinated by it, and so am I. And I think that's partly why the relationship has been it's been fun. It's fun to talk to somebody else who's curious about the same thing you are, but also productive, insightful.
Maybe I shouldn't bring this up with a scientist, but isn't it the mystery of music that makes it so appealing? I mean, what if we find out the answer to this and learn that we're basically Pavlovian rats with a music lever?
Yeah, it's a great question. And actually, so there's a couple of responses, or maybe they're pre-responses. And one, I was always trained as a musician long before I was ever trained as a scientist. But the scientific part of it, if you talk to most scientists, they'll tell you the questions are a lot more fun than the answers. It's better when the puzzle isn't complete. You're trying to finish it, but it's a lot more fun when you're putting it together. And then the other quote, I had been saying this to students for a long, long time, and then Dr. Charles Lim, who's a person we've been referring to, who gave the TED Talk on the neuroscience of improvisation, he used almost the same quote that I had been mentioning to my students for a long time, which was, the process is magical, but it's not magic. There's a way to understand it that doesn't take away from the beauty and the awe and the inspiration that we feel. I guess everybody would have to relate to it in their own way, but for car buffs, it would be something like it doesn't take away from the joy of the car by understanding what's happening underneath the hood. And that's a science term all the time, is trying to understand what's going on under the hood in terms of neuroscience and brain mechanisms related to all sorts of human behavior, including music.
What are some of the other events that you're looking forward to that you've planned? I know there's another concert on Thursday.
Thursday night. And that one is open to the public without charge. That will also take place at the Radisson Hotel. It'll be downstairs in the main room where everything else is happening for the conference, in the Kalamazoo room. And that also starts at 7:30, and it's a Taiko drumming ensemble concert. And it was another chance for me to make connections between people that they didn't know each other, they didn't know existed. But Dr. John Everson is a neuroscientist at University of California, San Diego. And he also happens to be the director of the San Diego Taiko Ensemble. and some of the people who are associated with our local Taiko Ensemble are also music therapists and percussionists, so, of course. And so I connected them and asked them if they would put together some type of an event that was both a performance and in a way to engage the audience, perhaps in some live aspect as well, live music making.
That's really fun.
Yeah.
Thursday night at 7:30 at the Radisson. And the conference details are online at your website, which is wmich.edu/brain. And there's a link to Conference 2013 there for the Mind, Music, and Medicine Conference.
That's right.
All I have left is really a question about music therapy gaining credence over the years. I think, you know, the observation that music can get through to people that are hard to get through to has been around for centuries, perhaps.
Sure. That's right, yeah.
But it needed to build a therapy, you know, a discipline, I guess. Yeah. And that's been growing over the decades. Is there a story you can tell about that?
Yeah, sure. Part of what it needed was some scientific validity and also then reliability. We need to have predictable outcomes. We work in an American healthcare system that's based on, well, among other things, a prognosis of how much better is somebody likely to get over what period of time and how much is that going to cost us model. And so people intuitively said, yeah, we know music is good for you, but we don't know how or why or what are the optimal approaches to it. And like you said, over the decades, we had been building that evidence mostly phenomenologically, meaning we could see it and it was the lived experience of clients and patients that they were benefiting from the practice. But understanding the how aspect of it is still, I mean, we're at a place now where we understand a lot more than we did 10 or 20 years ago, even 5 years ago. But part of the process now, we also know how much we don't know. And luckily, though, for us who are in the discipline or have our feet in both parts of the discipline, in the science and the clinical application part of it, the public is starting to become so much more aware of it. And they're starting to ask for it when they go for treatment. Hey, I've heard of this music therapy thing, or you know, I have a cousin who went to school with a music therapist. Do you have a music therapist? Because we would like to have that experience, or I would like my father to have that experience, and or my mother, or my grandparents, or my child. And it's not just offered as a quality of life, sort of an added benefit type of a thing anymore, but as a core part of a treatment milieu. And so I think the story aspect of it that you were asking about before is we're trying to understand the basic mechanisms so that we can build better therapeutic interventions so that the outcomes are more predictable and reliable. That's what medicine requires of us. And I think if I take myself out of the discipline and think about it as a consumer, that's what I want from my other healthcare providers also. And I know there's a ceiling to it. We can only predict so much. But the better predictability, the better the outcomes, the more likely the discipline will continue to grow.
You have to teach and learn at the same time.
Isn't it great?
Passing on to your students the very latest research in your field. It must be hard to juggle.
It's difficult, but it's a lot of fun too. You just have to learn to... part of what I'm learning is that to live with that uneasy feeling of being right on the edge of what we don't know and talking to people about what we think we know. And so you sort of bring up the next generation of scholars, intellectuals, and therapists and musicians, of course, while also then spending another part of the day or the week with people who are trying to figure out or answer the questions or even ask better questions. We're trying to push the envelope of understanding this whole big approach that we're trying to bring to the process of understanding music and health and medicine.
Well, the conference is the Mind Music and Medicine Conference, Wednesday and Thursday. More information on the conference is at wmich.edu/brain, and click on the conference link on that page. More information on Regina Carter's concert at the Dalton Center Recital Hall is at milleraudatorium.com/SOM or 387-2300. Why don't we listen to another cut from Regina Carter here.
Fantastic.
And come back with some final thoughts.
Okay. Thank you.
Beautiful music from Regina Carter. It's called Juru Nani, or God Be With You, from her Reverse Thread record, which I really got to look into getting my own copy, Ed. Thanks for bringing it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So she's here Wednesday night, and there's a taiko drumming concert on Thursday night. Like I said before we went to music, do you have some final thoughts to talk about with this Music, Mind, and Medicine conference?
Well, it's for us, this is a part of the celebration of the School of Music's 100th anniversary. And so, of course, we're very excited about that and thrilled that so many of our alums will be joining us and current students. And, of course, I think for me, like I mentioned in the early part of the interview, one of the most exciting aspects of the conference is that there are so many disciplines that are represented. And it really is, you know, this is a bit of an overused term, but it is really a meeting of multiple minds. So this is, for me, just the practical aspect of getting people in the same room at the same time so that they can actually converse with each other rather than through the literature or, you know, through secondhand communication.
Right, reading, this is the reading each other's papers,
yeah,
and abstracts.
Yeah, that's exactly the way it works, which is fine, but to put people in the same room at the same time is a whole different experience. And so that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
You're probably worried about all the practical things you have to get done before the conference, but
yeah.
Sitting here, I can't help but imagine a fantastic outcome of the few years down the road of people meeting as peers here and creating new research or furthering the field. It's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you.
Then you'll have
that's
to teach it
hope.
To your students all over again.
Yeah, well, I think that's how the cycle is supposed to work. But yeah, it's this is an exciting time for us, and we are not at the beginning. I mean, we've started, the lab is a couple years old now, and of course the discipline is 60 years or so old. But we are absolutely at the beginning of the shared work between basic scientists, musicians, and therapists. And so this is a really thrilling time in our careers and in our sub-disciplines.
Well, congratulations to you.
Great. Thank you, Kara.